observe yourself. That's why I said to you this morning, self-observation is so delightful. Such an extraordinary thing. After a while, you don't have to make an effort, because as illusion begins to crumble and you begin to know this thing that cannot be described called happiness, everything changes. You become addicted to awareness. Awareness, awareness, awareness. There's a story of the disciple or a traveler who goes to the master and he says, could you give me a word of wisdom? Could you tell me something that would guide me through my days? It was the master's day of silence. So he picked a pad and wrote one word on the pad. He said, awareness, and gave it to the traveler. When the traveler saw that, he said, but this is too brief. Could you expand on it a bit? And the master took the pad back pleasantly and wrote, awareness, awareness, awareness. He said, yes, but what does it mean? And the master took the pad back and wrote, awareness, awareness, awareness means awareness. That's what it means. Watch yourself. I told you this morning, no one can show you how to do it, because he would be giving you a technique. He'd be programming you. But watch yourself. You had a reaction this morning when you were talking to someone. Were you aware of it? Were you not identifying with it? You got angry with somebody. Were you aware that you were angry? And were you not identifying with your anger? And later, when you had the time, did you study it? Did you attempt to understand it? Where did it come from? What brought it on? I don't know of any other means of transformation than awareness. I don't know of any other. If any of you discover some other method of self-transformation, I'd be very happy to hear it from you. But I don't know of any other. You only change what you understand. What you do not understand and are not aware of, you repress. You don't change. Just gets repressed. But when you understand it, it changes. When you become aware of it, it changes. My, that was a pretty lengthy discourse, wasn't it? You seem a bit stunned, are you? Why don't we give you a 5-minute break to stand up and stretch, and then we'll continue. Gee, I really knocked you all out, didn't I? Yes. I don't know how much help this is going to be, but it's both kind of things. It is. There's some lucky people who see it in a flash. And as far as I know, there is no known means of acquiring this. How do you get it? I don't know. You just become aware. There are others who keep growing into it, slowly, gradually, increasingly, they see things. Illusions begin to drop off. Fantasies begin to be peeled away, and they get in touch with facts. So there's no general rule, really. There's this famous story of the lion who once pounced upon a flock of sheep, and to his amazement, he found a lion among them. It was a lion who had been brought up by the sheep ever since he was a cub, and he would be bleating like the sheep and running around, and the lion went straight for him. And when this sheep lion stood in front of the real one, he trembled in every limb. And the lion said to him, "What are you doing among sheep here?" And the lion said, "I am a sheep." He said, "Oh, no, you're not. You're coming with me." And he got hold of him and took him to a pool. And he said, "Look." And when the lion, who thought he was a sheep, looked at his reflection in the water, in that minute, he was transformed. Was never the same again. If you're lucky, if the gods are gracious, if you are gifted with divine grace, use any theological expression you want. You might suddenly understand who I is. And you'll never be the same again. Never, ever. And that's where you'll dwell. And nothing will ever be able to touch you again. And no one will ever be able to hurt you again. And you will fear no one. And you will fear nothing. Isn't that extraordinary? You live like a king, like a queen. This is what it means to live like royalty, not the rubbish where you get your pictures in the newspapers and where you've got a lot of money, but a lot of rot. And you're as terrified and confused as everyone else. And you're trying to hide it. When you fear no one, because you fear losing nothing. When you fear no one, because you're perfectly content to be nobody. Who wants to be somebody here? What's the use of it all? You don't give a damn. It doesn't matter. Success, failure, means nothing. Honor, disgrace, nothing. You make a fool of yourself, means nothing. My, isn't that a wonderful state to be in? Now, some people arrive at this painstakingly, step by step, through months and weeks of self-awareness. But I'll promise you one thing, I've not known of one person who would give time to being aware, who wouldn't see the difference in a matter of weeks. Already the quality of your living is changing. You don't have to take it on faith anymore. You're seeing it. You're different. You react differently. In fact, you're reacting less and you're acting more. You see things you've never seen before. You're much more energetic, much more alive. People think that if they had no cravings, they'd be like dead wood. You know what would happen to you? You'd lose your tension. Your fear of failure, your tension about succeeding, and you'd be yourself, relaxed. You wouldn't be driving with your brakes on. That's what would happen. There's a lovely saying of Chuang Tzu that I took the trouble, great Chinese sage Chuang Tzu, that I took the trouble to learn by heart. Hope I remember it, but if we fail, it's all right. It says, when the archer shoots for nothing, he has all his skill. When he shoots for a brass buckle, he is already nervous. When he shoots for a prize of gold, he goes blind, sees two targets. He is out of his mind. His skill has not changed, but the prize divides him. He cares. He thinks more of winning than of shooting. And the need to win drains him of power. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that an image of what most people are? When the archer shoots for nothing, he has all his skill. When you're living for nothing. You've got all your skill. You've got all your energy available to you. You're relaxed. You don't care. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. Now there's human living for you. That's what life is all about. That can only come from awareness. And in awareness, as I shall explain as we go along, you will understand that honor doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't. It's a social convention. That's all. And so the prophets didn't bother one bit about it. Honor, disgrace, meant nothing to them. They were living in another world, in the world of the awakened. Success, failure, meant nothing to them. Kind of, I'm an ass, you're an ass, so where's the problem? Somebody said, I think it was a man called Sidney Harris. I recollect reading. He said, the three most difficult things that a human being can do are not physical feats or intellectual achievements. They are, first, returning love for hate. Second, including the excluded. And third, admitting that you are wrong. My, easiest pie, easiest thing in the world, easiest thing in the world. If you haven't identified with me, what's the problem? Yeah, I'm wrong. If you knew me better, my God, you'd see how often I'm wrong. What would you expect from an ass? But I haven't identified with him, see? I is not this. So you cannot hurt me. Can you imagine that? Initially, oh, the old conditioned me will react, and you'll be depressed, and you'll be anxious, and you will grieve, and you will cry, etc. Before enlightenment, I used to be depressed. After enlightenment, I continue to be depressed. But there's a difference. I don't identify with it anymore. You know what a big difference that is? Do you know what it means? I'll say this slowly. Do you know what it means to step outside of yourself and look at that depression and not identify with it? And not do a thing to make it go away, and to be perfectly willing to go on with your life while it passes through you and disappears. My, if you don't know what that means, you really have something to look forward to. And the anxiety, there it comes, and you're not troubled. How strange. You're anxious and you're not troubled? Isn't that strange? Isn't that a paradox? And you're willing to let this cloud come in, because the more you fight it, the more power you give it. And you're willing to observe it as it passes by. Do you know something? You can be happy in your anxiety. Isn't that crazy? And you can be happy in your depression. It's just that you got the wrong notion of happiness. You thought happiness was excitement. You thought happiness was thrills. You know something? That's what causes the depressions. Didn't anyone tell you that? You're thrilled. All right, you're preparing the way for your next depression. You're thrilled. Have you picked up the anxiety behind that? How could I make that last? Somebody said that yesterday evening. How can I make it last? That's not happiness. That's thrills. That's kicks. That's addiction. That's drugs. Talk about the drug addict. My, I've got something to show you. I wonder how many non-addicts there are in this hall tonight. If you're anything like the average group, very few. Very few. don't look superiorly down your nose at the alcoholic and the drug addict. Maybe you're just as addicted as he or she is. The first time, my, I'm becoming personal. The first time I got a glimpse of this world, it was terrifying. Terrifying. To understand what it meant to live alone, to have nowhere to rest your head, but nowhere, to leave everyone free and to be free yourself, to be special to no one, to love everyone, because love does that. It shines on good and bad alike. And it makes its rain to fall on saints and sinners alike. No difference. It doesn't depend on an object to exist. You don't pull it out. It's there, available. Like the rose. Is it possible for the rose to say, I will give my fragrance to the good people who smell me, and I will withhold it from the bad? Or like a lamp, is it possible for the lamp to say, I shall give my light to the good people in this room and withhold my light from the evil people? Or like a tree, can a tree say, I'll give my shade to the good people who rest in my shade and withhold my shade from the bad? There are images of what love is all about. But I told you, we don't really know what love is. But it's right there, staring us in the face, in the scriptures. We never cared to see it, because we were so drowned in what our culture calls love, in its love songs and its poems. That isn't love at all. That's the opposite of love. That's desire. That's control. That's possessiveness. That's manipulation. That's fear. That's anxiety. That's not love. And we were told that happiness lies in thrills. It's so painful. It really is so painful to watch those commercials. Happiness is a smooth complexion, a holiday resort. But you know that already. You know that already. Or you wouldn't be here. You know it isn't these things. But then we have other subtle ways of making our happiness depend on other things, both within us and outside of us. I refuse to be happy until my neurosis goes. How about that one? I got good news for you. You can be happy right now with the neurosis. Yes, sir. You want even better news? There's only one reason why you are not experiencing what in India we call Anand. We have a special word for happiness, for this kind of happiness. It's called Anand, bliss. Bliss. There's only one reason why you are not experiencing bliss, this present moment. And it is because you're thinking or you're focusing on what you don't have. Or else you would experience bliss. You're focusing on what you don't have. Right now, you have everything you need to be in happiness, bliss, Anand, right now. Jesus was talking horse sense. He was talking to lay people, to married people, to third world people, to starving people, to poor people. He's telling them, good news, it's yours for the taking. Ready for it? Here goes. But who listened? No one's interested. They'd rather be asleep.